So there's nothing about a branch that would cause you to say, that's what the flower is going to look like. There's nothing about a branch on a tree that would cause you to say, oh, that's going to turn into a flower, which is then going to turn into a leaf, which is then going to change colors, and then it is going to drop and just kind of turn back into a branch again. Just looking at the branch, you really can't tell much about the fruit of that branch. And so, you know, this morning we have these beautiful lilies. They were here for Easter, and they're surviving quite well. We give them a little bit of water, and we pay them a little bit of attention, and the middle school students that are here week by week have not tormented them too much, and here they are. And they told me that they would last for a few weeks, and they have. And as you can see, some have are beautiful and are open and are very fragrant. Some are still yet to bloom, even though they've been here for a couple of weeks. Others have bloomed, and like this guy here, he's on his way out. And so, you know, next week we'll probably separate him from the branch because that fruit has served its purpose. But there's nothing about this green thing here that makes you say, oh, a beautiful white flower with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different petals and all this magical stuff going on inside here. Well, that's PG-13, the stuff that goes on in there. So talk to your parents about this magical stuff that goes on inside the flower there. But nothing about this right here would lead you to this. Only guys that really know about plants would be able to, like, if you couldn't see this lily and all you could see was this green stuff here, some of you might know, oh, Easter lily. But if you're anything like me, there's nothing about this green stuff that would make you think, oh, a beautiful flower with petals and all the magic going on in there. And you can see where the analogy is going, that there's something happening, right, inside of this branch that has blossomed, that has bloomed. And if there were to be a branch here with no flower on it, you would begin to wonder if the magical stuff happening in here that you can't see is actually happening. And you would know that if this green started to turn brown and the flower and the petal and the leaves got crispy and crunchy, then you would know that the magic, whatever is happening inside of here that's making this happen up here, it's not working anymore, or maybe it was never working, but it's probably time for that thing to go. And it's very obvious. It's very evident. But there's nothing about this branch here that would cause you to say, beautiful Easter lily, unless you had knowledge about plants because you were some kind of a gardener or a person that worked in a flower shop or in your own garden. There's nothing about us as individuals that just automatically telecasts how God is going to begin to move through our lives in faith. And truly, one of the deepest joys of my life is week by week now, I'm having conversations with people. Some of them are intentional over a cup of coffee. Some of them are just incidental as we run into each other at church or throughout the week. And I'm hearing about how God is bringing to life something in the lives of people who come to River Church that I wouldn't have just known just by looking at God is doing something. He's getting credit. He's getting honor. He's getting glory. What are these kinds of things that I'm talking about? Some of you have started reading Bible stories to your children at bedtime because you're a good mom, you're a good dad. And River Church, we gave out 50 Bibles on Easter. We want to make sure that all the children, whatever age they are, have access to God's word that's in a form that makes sense to them. Some of it is just pictures. Some of it is an actual little elementary age study Bible, but we want to make sure that all the kids have access to Bibles. Some of you have taken those Bibles and you're sharing those stories with your little ones at home at night, and then something happened that you would never anticipate. When you come up to kiss them goodnight and read their bedtime story, they're asking for stories from the Bible now. They have favorite stories. There's perfectly good stories that you have been reading to them, and they're wonderful stories. But for now, there is a season of growth happening in your little one that I would have never seen for sure and that you could have never anticipated as a parent. That little branch is starting to blossom. It's starting to bloom in a very beautiful way. And your faith is coming to life in a way that you could have never anticipated either, because you know where that little one came from, and you know where you were when you were that age. You may have not been asking for Bible stories at bedtime, but yet your little one is. God is doing something through a branch, through a believer that we could have never anticipated or seen. We have folks talking to me about, hey, Josh, what if I came to River Church and I did this? And people are stepping forward in leadership. I sent out a silly little email yesterday saying that we're starting a standalone nursery because now we have a number of little creepy crawlies that we don't want to be squished by the toddlers. And so we're going to take over a part of the hallway and we're going to turn it into a nursery. And people are stepping forward and saying, I want to help work in the nursery. People are volunteering of their other gifts to come and serve with setting up or tearing down. Others of you are emailing and saying, hey, I have a heart for this small group that I want to start. And all of these things are happening, and they're growing week by week by week by week. And they're not the kinds of things that I would have ever approached a person about. It's just the kind of stuff that God is doing in their lives. And it's incredibly comforting. It's incredibly joyful. It's incredibly powerful. We have somewhere between 6 and 8 people right now waiting for baptism. The only reason we haven't baptized them is because we're waiting for the weather to warm up a little bit so that our time of baptism won't be distracting by watching these people shiver and shake. No, I'm really making a decision of faith. No, it's really about Jesus, but I don't want to die. You know, so we're going to wait till the water warms up before we waterboard them. So that's we waterboard with warm water here at River Church. That's how we do it. So. But we have between 6 and 8 people who have made decisions of faith that want to be baptized. I spoke with someone this week who said that the Lord is confirming in his heart a call to the ministry. You can't do that kind of stuff. There's nothing about this that says this. And when you're having these conversations with people, it's really powerful and it's really amazing. And it's very, very comforting because through this fruit that River Church is experiencing, we are sensing God move. We are sensing God's presence. Why do I take the time to elaborate on this opening illustration? It's because that's exactly where the text is going this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 15. We're looking at the 7th and final I am statement. And the context for this I am statement is the same context, essentially, just a few minutes later for last week's I am statement, where the disciples are facing a degree of separation anxiety because they're working on object permanence. They had their object permanence focused on Jesus, and when they realize that Jesus is going to go away from them, now they're experiencing a high degree of separation anxiety. And so Jesus begins to share with them two of the I am statements, the purpose behind these I am statements. The last two is to help them realize that they are not going to be alone, that they too can experience God move powerfully through their life even if they don't see Jesus Christ. Simply by placing their faith in his word and being obedient to his teachings and spending time in prayer, they are going to begin to see God move through their life. And so the point of these last two I am statements is that Jesus wants his followers to be comforted by the presence of his Father actually in their lives. And so we see it in decision, after conversation. And I'd encourage you, I'm not the only one that gets to have these conversations. You're sitting in a room almost filled with people who are making these decisions of faith, common everyday things where they're seeing God come alive. And you wouldn't know it just by looking at them. You actually kind of have to talk to them a little bit to see the fruit. So, because God let's take a look at the text, and then I want to share a truth with you that coordinates nicely with another passage of Scripture. Let's start with John chapter 15. We're going to be reading the first 6 verses this week, and here's where the text begins. Here's the I am statement, Jesus talking to his disciples. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. The fact that these lilies bloomed the way they did not surprise the fine folks at the Jewett City Greenhouse one bit. In fact, they told me a number of different things. They told me how to care for them. They told me what to expect, how long they would last, and that when the fruit began to get old, how to properly treat it so that the resources would not be wasted on fruit that had already been expired, but that would be developing in these 4 other buds that we've already trimmed. This was no surprise to the fine folks at the Jewett City Greenhouse. They are the vine dressers. They knew exactly what this Easter lily was going to look like, when it was going to bloom, how it was going to bloom, and how to keep it blooming as long as possible. Jesus says, I am the vine. I am the true vine. I am the root system, essentially. The part that you don't see underneath this purple foil that's sending the moisture up through the branches. And God the Father is the vine dresser. He's the one that's not surprised by any of these decisions of faith. He is the one who has set up the environment where these decisions of faith can happen. This is exactly what Jesus is saying here. Be comforted by the fact that you are branches in a vineyard. I am the root. I'm supplying you everything that you need through faith in me. And my Father has a plan. He is going to act in his garden to create as much fruit as possible. And this is what the text, because God is ever mindful of his glory. And we find in, I don't have the text on the screen, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, that nobody has ever thought of, nor has anybody heard, or has anybody ever envisioned the kinds of things that God is going to do through his church to bring honor and glory to himself. God is always thinking about bringing glory to himself through fruit that honors. So he has a plan. Nothing surprises him. He knows exactly how to tend his vineyard. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, the interesting thing about this particular I am statement is that Jesus teaches at length about it. In fact, if you go into the second half of the chapter, he actually begins talking, he drops the metaphor and he begins talking about love and faith and prayer. And so he really goes at some length about it. But there, we're going to discover this morning that in the context of pruning and working in a vineyard, that we're going to come across some truths that don't feel very comforting. We're going to come across some biblical realities that don't sound like a lot of fun to us. These flowers smell amazing. They're very pretty, and they're beautiful to look at. But some of you had a moment when I plucked this thing off. What is that guy doing? I'm doing exactly what the vine dresser told me to do when it gets to a certain state. It just needs to be separated. It's not that anybody did anything wrong. It bloomed, it blossomed, it produced fruit. It was great. But the resources coming from the root are now being pumped into this one that is still coming into its prime. See, this one was attached to that one. And there's six other buds here that are going to be developing new flowers. Where there is one, there's now the potential for seven. And this one had served its purpose. But the fact of plucking it made some of you very uncomfortable. And we're going to talk about that because there are some verses in this passage that they're going to strike us as a little uncomfortable. But we're going to add some wisdom to it. We're going to talk about it and process the text together. So let's talk about this job that the vine dresser does. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He's talking about God the Father, the vine dresser, the farmer. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So if you are a branch in this analogy, in this metaphor, everybody gets cut. Everybody gets snipped. Everybody gets clipped, right? This is what the farmer does. If you are a branch in this analogy, you're going to get cut in one of two ways. You're either going to be pruned for more fruitfulness, which doesn't look fun, you know, it's a little bit of a moment. Or if the branch is dead, it's simply going to be removed and it's going to be cut. This is what the vine dresser does. And so it's not a question of whether or not branches get cut or branches get pruned. The question is, what is the purpose behind the cutting? Is it to provide more fruitfulness for the overall plant, or is it to remove something that has dead and you could make the case was never really a part of the plant to begin with? It never produced fruit. It grew up and it died. There wasn't any actual life flowing through that branch. So every branch gets cut. It's not a question of when, it's a question of where. And that's a difficult truth for us as Christians. That's not something that we look forward to. Let's keep going because Jesus has some more things to say. Verse 3, because again, he is comforting his disciples, but he just said something that doesn't sound very comforting at all. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. This is a text that we're going to be looking at this week. Next week, I want to take a look at a few more of these verses and kind of have a part two, because there's a couple of powerful truths here that I don't have the time to get into entirely this morning. I don't refer to Greek words during sermons hardly ever, and here's why. Because I don't want people to feel like unless they have the resources to read the Bible in the original language that they can't understand the Bible at all. And so week by week, you'll hardly ever hear me ever refer to the original language or the Greek language. In the Old Testament, it would be the Hebrew language. And it's not that I have tremendous training in Hebrew and Greek either. I barely survived those classes in seminary. So I'm not, the other reason I don't want you guys to think that you have to be a biblical scholar to get truth from God's word when you're reading it by yourself. However, there is something that is helpful here in the Greek that I should point out to you, because these are difficult concepts. When we're talking about pruning and cutting and cleaning, what is Jesus talking about here? Because it sounds very, very serious, but he's trying to be comforting to his disciples, but it doesn't sound comforting. One of the reasons we know that he is being comforting here to his disciples is he's playing a little trick with the words cutting and pruning and cleaning. Of course, those words aren't related at all in the English language, but in the Greek, what he's saying is that a branch is either going to be airo, or it's going to be kathairo, or it's going to be katharos. A branch is either going to be cut, airo, or it's going to be pruned, kathairo, or it's going to be cleaned, katharos. And so as he's walking through the vineyard on the way to the Mount of Olives, to have his prayer and then give his life and allow himself to be arrested, he is comforting his disciples, and he's using these words in a way to be a little bit of an encouragement, and he's having a little bit of fun with them. He's saying, you're either going to be airo, kathairo, or katharos. But you don't really have to worry about it because you're already katharos. You don't have to worry about the airo. You need to think about the katharo because you're katharos. He's having a little bit of fun with them. Some of you find this interesting. Some of you are wishing you went to church somewhere else this morning. But it's important that you understand in this text there are some difficult truths, and I want you to see how Jesus is trying to add a little bit of levity to this conversation as he's talking about some very, very serious matters of Christian growth and discipleship with his guys. Because the bottom line is that he comforts his disciples. He says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Decisions of faith that are a result of us following God's word have cleansed us. And they're going to lead to fruitful production in our life. And when we begin producing gospel fruit, New Testament fruit, when our children start to request for Bible stories at night, when we begin to start saying, I think I need to talk to Pastor Josh about baptism, or I think I need to talk to Pastor Josh about serving in this way, the guarantee from this scripture is that there's going to be a pruning in your life so that there will be ever-increasing amounts of fruit, which leads to God being honored and glorified. You see, according to verses 4 through 6, our relationship with Jesus Christ is a productive relationship. Let's talk about the cutting a little bit here, because everyone's wondering a couple of different things. Does this mean that if I make a decision of faith and I begin to sense the power of God moving through my life and I make a decision for baptism and I'm beginning to serve in the church, does this mean that it is possible to be apostate? That it is possible that at some point the farmer is going to come along? Is it possible that at some point the vine dresser, the horticulturist, is going to come along and do this? This is what, yeah, I killed it. Because this is exactly what the biblical text is saying. This is what we're wondering. If I make a decision of faith and I attach myself through faith in Jesus Christ and I begin to sense the power of God moving through my life, I'm making decisions of faith, I'm seeing these things happening. I have a desire for ministry, and fruit is blooming. And look, there's even potential fruit here. Is the farmer going to come along and cut me out and throw me aside where I'm going to wither and then picked up and burned? Is this what Jesus, is he telling his disciples, boys, listen to me now. Is this a comforting word that Jesus is sharing? This is the question when we read the text. Here's my best understanding of this text. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If we are separated from Jesus Christ, if we have never made a decision of faith, if we have not embraced his gospel, if we have not repented of our sin, if we have never attached ourselves to the vine, but we've attended church a few times, and we've associated with God's people a few times, and maybe we're even known as a church goer because we like to go to church every once in a while, but we've never made these decisions personal, we've never made these decisions real, and we've never experienced God's fruit in our life, it's possible that that is exactly what could happen to you. Because you are never, you shot up a little bit. There's other texts in the Bible that we could talk about where the flower pops up and then it withers away. And so it is possible that it's just by God's general blessing that some people come to church but they never actually know the Savior. And that is a difficult truth, and that is a scary truth. And this is something that Jesus is very frank about. But here's what he says to his disciples: but you are already clean. You are already bearing fruit. Let me make it clear. What I just did to this very beautiful Easter lily, God would never do. God would never do that to a branch that has made decisions of faith, where the power of his Spirit is flowing through it, and it is beginning to bud. It is beginning to show fruit. The reason that struck us so viscerally is because we already know, those of us that know God and love God, that he would never separate us that way. It's not going to happen. That is not how the gardener, that is not how our Heavenly Father operates. What he is going to do is find areas that are fruitful, that have served their purpose, and then he might prune so that there will be further fruitfulness. Does that help a little bit? Because that's our concern. Other texts that might be encouraging to you, if you read throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus makes it very clear that whom the Father has given him are his, and they will never be in peril of being separated from their Heavenly Father. This is a comforting text. It's an encouraging text, but it speaks very clearly about those who have never made decisions of faith, and it speaks very clearly about those who have, especially in that those who have made decisions of faith, there are going to be times where it feels like God is cutting us, but it's actually pruning. And so to help illustrate this a little bit this morning, because this is an important truth to wrap our minds around, I want to share with you a video. It's a little long. It's a better part of 10 minutes long, and some of you might have seen it before, but it does a great job talking about how God works in the life of a believer to prune them for more effective ministry.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be his masterpiece. I want to be everything he created me to be. And so I go to him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of your Son. Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that. don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hang on.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe four to five, maybe eight lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
Oh, the platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel,
no,
talk,
no,
chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on.
Okay.
Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. Compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you know.
That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things or life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
no,
chisel.
No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
You see, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my
ways. Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah, but you and I both.
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. And chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God. Shh.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's gonna be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was gonna be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's.
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
There's nothing about a branch that makes us think flower. There's nothing about a green, leafy, straight branch that makes us think about inside and outside and six petals and smells and a very three-dimensional experience. Some of us have made decisions of faith and we have connected to the vine, to the root, and we've made professions of faith and we've made decisions of salvation, we've made decisions for baptism, we've made decisions for ministry, we've made decisions to actually share God's word with our family. And we've started to see something grow. And it's surprising you, and it encourages you, and it comforts you when there are times when it feels like things are being separated from your life, where things are dropping out of your life, where things are possibly withering and dying in your life. You see, for those of us who have made decisions of faith, God might still cut things out of our life, but these are behaviors and sinful things and pruning actions that he takes place through the cleansing power of his word because there's more fruit coming. So, Christ follower, do not despair when you start to suffer and feel things being cut out of your life. Don't worry about it. Take comfort in the fact that your Heavenly Father is pruning you for greater fruitfulness. He is never going to separate you from Him, ever. The difficulties and the challenges that we have, sometimes they make us wonder if God has separated Himself from us. But we need to be encouraged this morning by a word that Jesus shared with His followers on His way to the cross. The reason he shared this word on the way to the cross is because he was going to separate himself from his Father so that his followers would never have to be separated. And so here's the word of exhortation. Here's the word of encouragement. Let's have the wisdom that comes through faith to understand that when challenging times come, it's not because God is separating himself from us or us from him. He is rather encouraging a deeper level of abiding with him, remaining with us, and providing opportunities for more work of his creation in our life. Things that we could never see or understand or anticipate until they happen. But once they begin to happen, it kind of helps us and it comforts us through the pruning process. Maybe this morning you feel like God is pruning on you a little bit. Maybe since you started coming to a brand new church, things have gotten worse for you. And like, things were better when I wasn't poking the God bear at all and just letting him sleep in the cave. But now that I'm going to church and I've started to make decisions of faith, I'm starting to feel very uncomfortable and I'm wondering what is going on here. He is actually pruning you for greater fruitfulness. There are little buds in your life that look like this. We know what to do with this flower. Namely, keep people like me away from it, but give it water and encouragement and a few more days, and this thing is gonna bloom. The same is true in your life. God is working on things in your life right now. He has separated you from some dead things in your life, and he's bringing some new things to life into your life, and he's going to increase your desire to serve him because the Bible says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever comprehended the kinds of things that God has in store for those who know him. And so this morning, we're having an opportunity to pray, and maybe you've never made that decision of faith. And if that is the case, Jesus does offer a stern warning, which is tie into the vine, tie into the root, make a decision of faith and humble yourself before God. Stop trying to prune yourself and give your life into the hands of your Heavenly Father who loves you. Look around and see the other people who have made these decisions of faith and be encouraged in your own. Don't be separated from the things of God any longer. Don't spend one more day being dried up with the possibility of being cast away. Rather, humble yourself before God. And dear brother and sister in Christ, if you're going through a time of discouragement where things are not working out the way that you thought they should, I just want to encourage you, dig deep in God's word. It's not a question about whether or not obedience to the words of Jesus Christ will bring fruit. They absolutely will. It's just a question of what pruning process are we going to go through before that fruit blooms in our life. And so I hope you're encouraged by that. I hope that video was helpful. I thought it did a nice job talking about these verses in an indirect way. We're going to have an opportunity to sing and pray and offer our hearts and our minds to Jesus one more time this morning in song. And as we do, if you would like to pray, this is a safe place up here. If you'd like to pray with me, I'd be happy to pray with you. If you'd like to pray with your small group leader or a ministry leader or a family member or just by yourself, you're welcome to join me up front. If a simple step of faith just down these short little aisles would be an encouragement to you to have a little time of prayer, then come and pray with me, because that's what I'm going to be doing. Would you join me as I pray? We ask the Lord's blessing on our conclusion. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to wrestle with your word. Thank you for the truths that we find there. Father, I pray that you would continue to strengthen and flow through the power of your Holy Spirit, the people that you've drawn to yourself. Father, we cannot even begin to imagine how you're going to use us. We just pray that you would give us the strength and the courage to face that seasonal pruning so that we can be fruitful for you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.